Blog Talk Radio.
Five Lincoln 103, five Lincoln 102, Lincoln 103 and 102.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
Henry 8, Henry 9, respond to gate 437 Bravo for your dignitary detail. 3K911 on the pivot 400 lower level near carousel 4, black bag. GTA in progress, 401 parking structure, section 4 boy.
Responding to 401 parking structure, section 1 boy.
415 passenger onboard aircraft.
Control 2 Franklin and Brown.
484 suspect, the female, Hispanic, 28 years of age. Blue G, no further.
Control, high Frank, 401 is a route.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Private Officer Beat on this Monday morning, the 6th of June, 2016. We're glad that you are with us, joining us live from our studios in Charlotte, North Carolina, where, well, for the moment, at least, we are dry, but it has been a very wet, soggy, humid, tropical storm weekend, and we have at least another day to look forward to that mess. But after that, they tell us that the sun will be coming out and the week will be sunny and bright. So who knows, you know, what the weather's like. It changes momentarily, especially in some areas of our country. But there are two different storms, one in the Atlantic coast, which is really has hammered Virginia and the D.C. metro area overnight. Lots of trees and wires down, some folks without power. And then there's a tropical storm in the Gulf Coast. Have you all heard about this? I'm telling you what. Already we're worrying about hurricanes. Just beginning the hurricane season, and already we're into our third tropical storm. Taking a quick look here on the map, it looks like they're predicting now that this tropical storm will cross into northern Florida, southern Georgia, sometime late tonight. But right behind that, there's yet another depression that they're checking on and watching. And can you imagine what it's going to be like when we really get into the midst of the true hurricane season in August and September? If we're already into our third tropical storm, my gosh. We're going to be talking in the upcoming weeks about how the weather really plays a part with security and law enforcement and public safety in general. In fact, my good friend from Alabama, James Spann, we hope to get him on the program. We've talked about him being a guest and me being a guest on his program before, and hopefully our schedules will sync up this time. But we're going to talk about how the weather can affect public safety and all the things that we do. And we'll be talking, hopefully, with James coming up in the next couple of weeks. This morning, we have a lot of information to bring to you, but we want to first thank our sponsors. We want to definitely thank Body Armor USA. If you're in need of a top-of-the-line, no-nonsense body armor, you definitely want to check out our friends at BodyArmorUSA.com because they've got what it takes to protect you. If you work in corrections or in an environment where you are more likely to be stabbed or slashed or cut, they definitely have some great slash-resistant vests, slash-resistant gloves. They've got the gear to keep you safe and protected so that you'll be able to go home with the family at the end of your shift. Check them out today at BodyArmorUSA.com. We also want to give a big shout out to our sponsor, 1-800-TimeClocks.com. this company has been around for many years. They're a great company, and for many years they primarily made timekeeping equipment, documentation for employees, and now they've got a great new security patrol reporting software. Check them out online at 1-800-TimeClocks.com or give them a call at 1-800-846-3256. Again, that number is 1-800-846-3256. We're going to sit here and drink our Starbucks and, oh, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to mention brand names. if you watch any of the major TV channels, you watch any program these days, even radio shows, they've got everything taped up. All the logos are taped up because you can't mention them because you'd have to charge them a royalty fee. Well, we're not quite there yet, although we're almost there. Aren't we, Brett? We're almost there. We're making our way up the ladder, as they say. But we are. We're enjoying our morning coffee here, and we've got a lot to talk about. Certainly, we do want to remind you to keep an eye out on the weather, especially if you're in the Atlantic east side of our country, the Atlantic coast area, or the Gulf Coast, because as we've seen in years past, living on the Gulf Coast myself for quite some time, you know, those tropical storms can quickly, especially in that warm water, develop into a hurricane. You can get a Category 1 just like that. No sweat. And who knows? You know, I know that the weather guys, they try to get it right. You know, they do the best they can with what they got, $1 trillion worth of equipment, but still, it's just a guess, and Mother Nature's going to do what Mother Nature's going to do, and she could easily whip up a much stronger storm. Right now, in fact, we're looking, tracking the weather. We've got 50 miles an hour wind gusting up to 58 miles an hour. So, yeah, 75 is a Category 1, 75 miles an hour. So this easily could really whip into a hurricane without too many people even knowing about it until it's too late. But we're definitely going to keep an eye on this, and we'll keep you informed, keep you updated, and be sure to check out our upcoming weather show, how weather affects the security industry. One of the really important things that I want you to know about this week, if nothing else penetrates the sound waves this morning, I definitely want you to know that this is National CPR AED Awareness Week. Now, you would think, you would just, you know, imagine that everybody is CPR trained. You would think that every public, private building, every company, every school, every church, every bank, every post office, every government facility, every police department has AEDs hanging on the wall. No, not even. Less than 50% of Americans are trained in CPR. And those who are trained often do not take the complete CPR training. There are differences when you are doing CPR on an infant, a child, or an adult. You have to know the differences in order to help that individual. There are some myths in our country still today, 7 myths about sudden cardiac arrest, SCA. First of all, sudden cardiac arrest is the third leading cause of death in the U.S., affecting about 1,000 people every single day in the U.S. 1,000 people. There is a good chance that you, whether you work in law enforcement, security, whatever it might be, we'll come across a situation one day soon, sooner than later, where you're going to need to assist somebody who is having sudden cardiac arrest. On average, only 10% of sudden cardiac arrest victims survive. Only 10%. Why is that, you ask? The answer is very simple. Most people do not know how to effectively, adequately administer CPR or use a defibrillator, even now, even in 2016. Seven common myths that people really think, and they're not true. Number one, many people think sudden cardiac arrest is rare. That's not true. The fact is, the number of people who die from sudden cardiac arrest each day is equivalent to the number who would die if two jet planes crashed every single day, killing everyone on board. Myth number two. Many people still believe that sudden cardiac arrest is the same as a heart attack. It's not. In fact, when people have heart attacks, they're usually awake. Their hearts are beating. They even are aware that they're having a heart attack. But when people have a sudden cardiac arrest, usually their hearts are not beating. They're not awake. Heart attacks can lead to sudden cardiac arrest, but there's many different causes. Myth three, many people think, it only happens to the elderly. The fact is, most sudden cardiac arrest happens to people of all ages, including more than 6,000 youth under the age of 18 each year. I don't know how many times that we have seen in the last couple of years, teenagers, otherwise healthy-looking teenagers, fall dead, fall down, go into cardiac arrest at school, at play. Some say it's because of obesity. Some say it's because of the lack of exercise. All of those things are probably correct, but the fact is, nobody is trained to assist them. It's going to lead to immediate death. Number five, another myth. Victims are better off waiting for professional help to arrive. The fact is, time is of the essence. Immediate bystander intervention can mean the difference right now between life and death. I cannot, for the life of me, even imagine just standing by, idly, looking at somebody having a heart attack and saying, well, I called 911. Oh, they'll get here any moment now. They'll take care of him. He'll be okay. She'll be okay. It is our duty, especially if you're in uniform, especially if you're a security, law enforcement, public safety, school officer. It's our duty. I can remember a time, you know, when I first got on the PD, every medical call we went to, we were the first responder. It didn't matter if it was a bee sting, a heart attack, or somebody fell out of the tree. Before the ambulance got there, they knew we would get there. Law enforcement would be on scene. Many, many, many communities now have a 911 system and a first responder system where the fire department sends out an engine. And the theory behind that is that there's more fire engines and they're better positioned to be there on scene first and begin some medical aid to the person. But if you're standing next to somebody who's had a heart attack, somebody who's fallen down, to think that they're better off to wait for professional help to arrive, that's ludicrous. You need to get involved. You need to be trained in CPR and AED. Myth number six, only trained personnel are allowed to use AEDs. The fact is, AEDs can be used effectively even if you have no training whatsoever, because all AEDs have visual and voice prompts. Once you turn that thing on, it's going to tell you step by step what to do. And I don't want to say this sarcastically, but even a monkey could probably use an AED. AEDs are very user-friendly, even if you have no training. And myth number seven, AEDs can hurt people by shocking them inappropriately. That truly is incorrect. The fact is that people in cardiac arrest are clinically dead. They are clinically dead. Your actions can help. AEDs are safe and effective, and they will not shock the heart unless a shock is necessary. In fact, when you place the pads and the machine is on, it will tell you no shock needed or stand by to deliver a shock. If you do anything today, please call the American Red Cross, the American Heart Association, and schedule a time to go in and be trained in CPR, infant, children, adult, and AED. Please, you will make a huge difference in this world.
How often do you text and drive? No, really, think about it. You're driving down the road and your phone buzzes, beeps, or hollers. Do you take a peek? If you answered yes, you're risking your life and the lives of others. A recent AT&T survey asked 1,200 teens about texting and driving, and the results were quite scary. 61% of teenagers who answer questions say they look at their phone while driving. 43% of them say they actually text while driving, and they know it's not safe. Because in that exact same survey, almost all of the teens said texting and driving is dangerous. And when they're sitting in a red light, more teens think it's okay to mess with their phones. 73% glance at their messages, while 60% of them send one. But that could be just as dangerous, because did you know, thousands of crashes happen each year at intersections with traffic lights. And peer pressure could be to blame, because 9 out of every 10 teens surveyed expect a reply within 5 minutes. And adults aren't helping, at least from the teenager's perspective, because 77% of teens said adults tell kids not to text and drive, yet do it themselves all the time. So what will make them stop? 89% of teenagers surveyed said a phone app that prevents texting and driving would be an effective way to get them and their friends to stop. So the next step, download AT&T Drive Mode, an app that helps curb the urge to text and drive. Then, take the pledge and share it with your friends. Texting and
are cracking down on seatbelt violations. Buckle up day and night or expect a ticket. It doesn't matter who you are or where you live, they'll be on the lookout. Cops write tickets to save lives. Click it for ticket.
Good Monday morning to you. Monday. Say that 50 times and convince yourself that it's better. Better to be up doing something and making a difference in the world than to be home lounging. Well, it really truly is. And if you take CPR and you go out and, you know, you could make a big difference in this world. We're going to be talking a little bit about how the news business works coming up in just a few moments. We have a lot of people who ask, I mean, continuously about how we gather our news, how do we get information so quickly, even before major networks, how does the news business work, why doesn't their local newspaper, their local TV broadcast when a security officer or police officer is killed every time. We're going to talk a little bit about that coming up. You know, I read this weekend that violent crimes is on the rise, and that makes national news. That's big time news, especially because it's happening in so many of our cities, both large and small. But with that being said, it's nothing newsworthy to us. It's not new to us because in the private security and law enforcement business, on the front line, on the beat, we see it firsthand. We know when something is about to explode. We know when crime really begins to rise. We see it in real time. We don't need the news. We don't need the media to make this big, big, big story because we already know it's happening. In fact, just recently, within the last week or so, we wrote an article about how the violent weekend affected private security. 4 security officers dead, 10 shot, many others involved in armed confrontations. Every single summer, we see the same thing. Every Christmas, New Year's, Thanksgiving, holiday season, we see the same thing. There are definitely indicators that let us know that violence is up across the country, and private security and law enforcement and school officers and mall security were on the front line. And we actually are taking the brunt of it. Now, in private security, we actually see it more often than even law enforcement. And the reason for that is, first of all, there's more than 2.5 times the number of private security in the U.S. than there are actual public law enforcement. So we're everywhere. Security is everywhere. And we're the ones that are on the front line that's reporting all of these things to law enforcement. So definitely we see it long before the PD arrives. I want to share a couple of things with you in the news this week that I saw in Detroit, the University of Detroit Mercy, their private police department, which really is not a fully, how do I say this so that everyone understands the difference? They don't have a true campus police department where all of their officers are Academy certified. Most are, but under the Michigan state law, private police only have a certain number of hours and they have the authority to arrest on private property. Well, their department is actually expanding off the campus considerably to assist Detroit police on their patrols. And this is something we're seeing nationwide where many colleges are expanding beyond their boundaries, beyond their property lines. You have that in Philadelphia, where there are a number of police departments that patrol well beyond their lines. You have it in Chicago. And, you know, it's a good thing because they have full arrest authority. They can conduct traffic stops, and they do assist in lowering the crime. But we are seeing more and more private police departments getting involved in public enforcement away from their actual boundary line, and we are keeping an eye on that. Another item that really concerned me over the weekend is in Arlington, Texas, 15 police officers suspended under investigation for fake traffic stops. They say it's because Arlington PD required a certain number of traffic stops each month, and that's actually outlawed in Texas. You can't have a quota system. I've seen that before in other metro areas. It's a sad situation where officers have to make up activity just so that they don't get suspended or written up. Indianapolis police said that they've made an arrest, 2 people under arrest for a robbery of a Macy's store in Indianapolis. David Weaver and Nicole Knight, 25 and 24 respectively, have been charged with robbery, armed robbery. They entered a Macy's store into the fine jewelry department with axes, and they smashed out the cases. They grabbed the merchandise and ran. We see this about once a month someplace in the country. There are a lot of brazen people out there who are willing to enter a store in broad daylight and risk being caught, you know, because they know, first of all, security at the store, for the most part, is going to be unarmed. And they're not going to step in. They're not going to stop the suspects. So they know they pretty much can go in, do what they want to do, get what they want to get, and take off without anybody confronting them. And that's a sad situation. Another situation this weekend, a Memphis police officer was killed. He really didn't have a whole lot to do with what was happening. There was a fight and a shooting at a nightclub. The officer was one of many who had responded. The suspect then went into the Bass Pro store, which is the old pyramid, if you know anything about Memphis downtown. He went in there and shot an employee. The police officer was basically telling the people to get off the sidewalk because the suspect had entered a vehicle. He had, was driving crazy down the road and jumped the curb, and the suspect hit and killed the police officer. And boy, I'll tell you, we had about four police officers killed in the last week. Police and security on the front line. They are taking left and right. They're taking the brunt of the disrespect, of the aggressiveness, of the resistance, of the force being used by suspects these days. I was talking to a New York police officer last week. We were talking about how more and more people are resisting, more and more people have no concern for law enforcement. They don't care about authority, and it really has become an extremely dangerous job, not only for law enforcement, but really for anybody who's in uniform. If you want to read more of our breaking news, just go to our website at privateofficer.com, privateofficer.com. You can link up to all of our social media and our news blog right there. And if you're not already a member of the association, please consider to join today, because we are the voice of the private security industry, private law enforcement, public safety, school security, mall security, private investigators. We offer a lot of benefits, a lot of support, and a lot of training. We have a lot to talk about and a short amount of time to get there. I do really want to explain pretty concisely about our news and how the news department works worldwide in all of your major news carriers, and we'll get to that in a couple of minutes. I want to mention about the 2016 Memorial Ride. Every week, every year, we do a week very similar to the law enforcement week in D.C. We also have our own since 2004. This year, it's going to be September 18th through the 24th. During that week, we'll have a number of memorial services happening across the country. We also intend on doing our national memorial ride. If you'd like to sponsor that, donate to it, or even have one in your community, you can go to our website at privateofficer.com and click on the memorial link. If you don't see it, please email helpdesk@privateofficer.com, helpdesk@privateofficer.com. We need your support in order to keep on doing what we're doing. We need your membership, and we need for you to be actively involved. There's no reason for us to exist, no reason for us to be in business, if people do not want to get involved, if people don't see the need for it. It's kind of like the theory I told you before a number of times about your local favorite diner. You know, you love the restaurant, but you don't eat there very often. And one day you go by and you see, oh, the place is closed down. My favorite store, my favorite restaurant is no longer there. What happened? What happened? Well, what happened was too many people loved it so much that they didn't use it frequently enough. They didn't support it. They didn't buy their groceries. They didn't eat at the restaurant. They didn't really physically, financially support it. They may have supported it with their words, with their thoughts. Oh, yeah, that's a great place. But unless you support it with your finances, with your efforts, then it really won't stay around very long. We have been lucky to be in business since 2004, but, you know, 12 years and times are changing. We need for everyone to be involved. Spread the word. Tell folks in not only the security industry, but public safety, school resources. We cover the alarm industry, private investigators, bail bonds, bail enforcement. Over 40 member benefits and free training, discounted training, many services. Check us out, privateofficer.com, or email us today at thehelpdesk@privateofficer.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when I get back, we're going to talk about how the news business really does work. You'd be amazed.
Every 40 seconds, someone around the world takes their own life. Every 13 minutes, someone in the U.S. commits suicide. While you were getting ready for work this morning, in the first hour of your day, as many as 5 people in the U.S. have killed themselves. By lunchtime, about 20 people in the U.S. have taken their own life. At the end of an 8-hour workday, about 40 people in the U.S. killed themselves. In a 24-hour period, as many as 111 people in the U.S. committed suicide.
All right, welcome back on this Monday morning. It's 32 minutes after the hour, 32 minutes after 7 on this, the 6th day of June 2016. Thanks for being with us. We're talking this morning about the news business and how the news business works, not only here at our office, but in any major or minor league news source, whether it be newspapers, radio, TV, or what have you. We've had a lot of people over the years really surprised at how we know so much and follow so much news. So we're going to tell you about how it works here. But, you know, news is really a nonstop business operating 24/7. Something is always happening. It's always going on. The news is perpetual. There's no way to get away from that. In fact, it's the only show in the summertime that I know for sure will not be a rerun. I guarantee you when I turn the TV on at night to watch my evening news, it's not a rerun from last year or last week. It's brand new. It's the only show guaranteed to always be brand new every year. Longtime listeners of the radio show here will remember, if you've listened to me in the past, that I have mentioned a few times about how I fell in love with the news at a very young age. And it was just something that happened. My dad would watch the evening news every night before dinner. And of course, back in the old days, we're talking about Walter Cronkite and black and white TVs and TV antennas on the roof. And the only remote that we had for our TV was my brothers and I. You know, if the channels needed to be changed, we were the ones who, yeah, change that channel. Back then we had, I think, three or four channels. And so it wasn't like we had a lot of choices. But I watched the news every day. I read the newspaper every day. Today, the news is definitely different. The news is broadcasted in so many different methods. But there really is still only two categories. It may be broadcasted across many mediums, many different methods, but print news and broadcast news is still the only two types of news there are. Now, in broadcast, unlike years ago when you just had TV, now broadcast means TV, radio, internet, social media. It can be broadcasted, live streamed, and so much more. TV news is really, the print side of the news is going down. It's going the way of black and white TVs. I don't think that newspapers will really survive much longer. TV news is still up and around. Many people really have no concept, idea of how that even works. There are still four major news or major TV stations, CBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox. Each of these are privately owned by a company, a media company that generally covers a territory. They pay a fee to be an affiliate station of CBS, Fox, ABC, or NBC. They can't be all or several. They have to be one or the other. And in turn, they receive a license to operate within a certain geographical area covering usually 50 to 200 miles, depending on the state, the city, the size of the area, the geographics of the area, and that dictates where their area is going to be to cover the news. They're responsible for reporting the news in their assigned territory, and stations find their news these days in five basic ways. You might ask, well, how do you know all this? And, loving the news as much as I always have, because I saw the value in it. Not just, it wasn't an entertainment product, but it was an information product. It was a training product. It was a historical lesson many times. I actually took a course at a college on how to produce the news and how to report the news and how to operate the cameras and the lighting and all of that, thanks to a public TV project that I worked on when I was in Nashville, Tennessee. And so I took a course in the TV production and got involved in the news business. I even had for many years, I had an online news magazine, and we had a one of those free newspapers that we produced in Alabama for about 3 years. So news has always been something that I've done, I've loved, and now I know a lot about how stations operate, how they collect their news, how they produce it, and because of that, it actually has helped us to be on top of the news that we are interested in and the news that we produce and distribute. So let me explain to you for a couple of moments how TV stations do get their news. A lot of people really don't understand how it all works, but there are a number of ways that TV stations, news departments gather their news. First of all, as you can imagine, most news departments of TV stations still sit by the police scanner. Many will monitor traffic. They do have a production staff, a news staff in the office that stays in the office. Sometimes they'll monitor their police frequencies and their vehicles. That's the way they did it years ago. And they chase the major breaking news, car accidents, fires, you know, explosions, shootings, you know, a tree has fallen down and injured somebody, whatever it might be. They chase that news. That really is one method, just one method of collecting breaking news. But news isn't all about what's happening at the moment. So number two, another way that, and by the way, we also monitor regional scanners across the country 24/7. We have a lot of resources available to us where we're able to pick and choose the areas that we're going to monitor. And so if we see breaking news happening, an active shooter, we can, you know, go to that frequency and monitor it and report on it. Number two, many news stations curate their news. In the old days, they would receive their news through a subscription service, through a service called Teletype. And that was the same thing that was offered to most TV stations, radio stations, and newspapers. It would come off the wires, they would call it. And it would be from the Associated Press, from ABC, CBS, all of the major news. And we also do the same thing. But these days, it's done digitally. So we have it online. We have news feeds from the AP, from Reuters, from Political, Fox, NBC, CBS, and ABC, to mention a few. We actually have a subscription service, a new service through them where we get all of the regional and national and international breaking news. In fact, we also monitor the Canadian news as well as the BBC and a number of other international markets. Many news departments at TV stations monitor and receive these national breaking news as well as international news. And that's how they get some of their news stories, because they're taking it off the wire. They're taking it from somebody else. We currently monitor in our office about 1,200 news sites. We receive direct feeds from all of the major national and international news sources, including, like I said, the BBC, Canada News. And that happens by using keywords or phrases that allows certain news items to come through to us. So we're not searching for every incident happening across the world or across the U.S. We're searching for public safety news, private security, bail enforcement, law enforcement, shooting, active shooter, so on and so forth. So most of you are familiar with how the internet works these days. So we do use keywords and search phrases. And the same thing with Google Alerts. We also use Google Alerts. Many of you are familiar with them. Again, we're using keywords and phrases for different things that we want to just have news items come up to us. We also receive many direct press releases from the U.S. Marshals Service, the FBI, the Justice Department, many state and local PDs and fire departments, as well as receiving news tips from our social media, our members, and our followers. So as you can see, we have a lot of different news sources. This is the same thing with TV and radio stations. TVs, stations have the same news feeds. They have, like I said, the old style teletype, which is now all digital, done by internet feeds. And they're constantly monitoring the wires. Number three, they have certain meetings that they have to attend. They have press releases and public information releases sent to them about upcoming government meetings, a particular political issue, a current event, something that's happening in the area. It could be election. It could be that they're talking about building a new city hall, whatever it might be. These are put on their calendar. It doesn't usually happen in just a spur of the moment. They actually have these on the calendar. So they know on Monday, June the 6th, they have a government meeting at the government center at 1 p.m. At 3:15, they have a school board meeting to cover. And that's how they dispatch those reporters out to those assignments. There's an assignment editor and an assignment desk that are dispatchers, so to speak. They dispatch and dictate where the reporting staff and photogs are going. We also stay on top of legislative laws, news that's affecting the security, the public safety arena, bail enforcement, bail bonds, law enforcement. So we have some of those coming into our office as well. And we many times will communicate via Skype or conference call or one-to-one on a phone call with the people involved in these meetings to get information. I have had the privilege of testifying in front of a number of Senate committees and legislative bodies regarding the security industry over the last 12 years. And we'll continue to do that as well. Number four, news tips come into the news department of most TV stations on a regular basis. So we often will send via social media news tips to our local media about a fire or a car accident. And if you follow us on Twitter, you'll probably see those tweets going out to those news entities, letting them know, hey, have you heard there's a drowning? Have you heard about the fire? Have you heard about the big car wreck? We're constantly staying on top of the news. And so they often get news tips. They get comments about certain news items or complaints about the condition of a road or the condition of an apartment. And they go out and investigate. And that's how they develop news stories. We do the same thing. We get a lot of our followers, our POI members, and people on social media who let us know. We just had somebody Sunday who let us know of a shooting in Texas involving a security officer. Another one this morning let us know a security officer was involved in a shooting in Ohio. So we get this on our Facebook pages. We get this on Twitter and other social media, and that's how we develop some of our news stories. And number five, reporters actually, can you imagine this? Reporters actually go find their own story. Just like in the old days, they go beat the bush. We also have our own correspondents in a number of areas across the country. We have a correspondent right now in Ireland and in Canada. They let us know what's happening in those countries. And if you would like to become a correspondent, all that you have to do is send us an email at helpdesk@privateofficer.com and we'll contact you and give you more information. So we also write our own news stories. So, all right, we have all of these news departments, all of these news feeds coming into us. Now what happens? Well, just like with a news department at a TV, our news staff, which starts at 4 a.m., what they do is they curate. In other words, they find the news items of interest. So we might have, on any given day, 1,000 to 1,500 news items that they have to go through, preview, look at, touch, and see if it's something that's of interest to us. Out of those hundreds of news stories and news alerts, we're going to see 15 to 20. We're going to narrow it down to about 15 or 20 that are of interest to us, and we will curate those news items. Same thing at a news station. They do the same thing. They might see 35 or 40 news stories come across the wire or tips that they've received, but they only have so much time on air to talk about the news. So they have a production meeting. If the news goes on the air at 5 o'clock, at 3 o'clock, or 3:30, they're scheduling their news stories, and some news stories don't make it, you know, to the media. I want to answer the question that we get frequently. Well, how is it that you guys know about this shooting death of a security officer in Texas, and my news here in Ohio, New York, or California isn't aware of it? There's nothing on the news, nothing in the newspaper. It's just like any other regional or local story. Unless it's something really severe, something really major, it's not going to hit your local news. The local news story there in your region is going to cover a small amount of regional and local news and a little bit of international or national news that's just at the really the top echelon of the news that people want to see or that they think people want to see. And everything else is going to go by the wayside. You are not going to see that a police officer in California was shot and killed if you live in Michigan, unless it's making major news through the AP, Reuters, Politico, or some other national contributor of the news. It's just not going to hit your news story, your headlines. Same thing with security, and even lesser so with security, because most major news departments, major news carriers do not pick up on private security officer deaths unless it's something really major. Like a few years ago, 3 armored car security officers were killed all during the same robbery. A couple of years ago, an armored car security officer shot and killed his partner and stole $1 million. That hit the national news story, and it was on, you know, all the local news channels as well. Generally speaking, you're not going to really have all of the regional headlines or the national headlines on your local news involving security or even law enforcement. That's where we come in. That's what we do. We curate the news. We find the news that are of interest to our readers, our members, our followers, and we put it together so that you have all that information that's important to you. We also write our own news stories. Every day, we have different news that we want to generate. We write our own news stories. We have professional news writer journalists in our office. We have news blogs, breaking news alerts, newsletters, social media, radio shows. We write our own content for others. And it's very, very important that you participate. It's very, very important that you read the news, that you understand what's happening. And there's so many benefits to actually being on top of the news that's happening in your industry. First of all, of course, we know that news is important because it records what's happening in our industry. And that's very important. If private security wants to maintain a professional industry, if they want to be known as professionals, then it's important to stay on top of what's happening. Number two, it provides statistical data, information. We record every injury, death, workplace violence, everything that we come across, we record that, and we have the ability to provide those statistical data, information, those stats to other agencies, companies, members, so forth. Number three, many, many companies, many training schools use the news that we curate for training purposes, and that's a good thing. It's a tool, and we do as well. Fourth, it's very informational. I mean, besides being something that really informs you of what's happening in your industry, it informs you what's happening across the country, around the world. You see that security officers in South Africa, Canada, Europe, and different places are going through the same things as those employed here in the U.S. Same thing with law enforcement. I stay on top of law enforcement news happening in many countries because you see they have the same problems. I mean, in some countries, there's a whole lot less respect for law enforcement and a whole lot more resistance on a continual basis than there are even here in the U.S. So having that information is very beneficial in the world that we're living in today. Private Officer International is always developing new tools, new training. And one of the things that we're on top of, and I think that separates us from other associations, is that we do have our own news department. And I can tell you what's happening across the country even before the major news breaks it. We often break news before anyone else. I can, you know, last year there was an incident where a major storm killed a security officer. We knew that before anybody else. Another story was reporting that a security guard was killed. We knew it was a police officer, and we actually notified the press and that reporting agency and said, well, you're reporting this as a security guard, but it was actually a police officer. And they changed their information in their social media immediately, and then they changed it in their print portion as well. So staying on top of the news is a vital aspect of our industry or any business. If you were in the construction business, you would be on top of the news. One of the things that I learned from a friend of mine who was in marketing was the more information you had about what was happening in your industry, the more that you could relate to other people about what was happening, the better it was for your business, the better that it showed that you were informed, that you were on top of things, you were on the ball. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. That's going to be all for today's episode of the Private Officer Radio. We're really happy that you joined us. We have a number of emails that I can't get to today, but we're definitely going to get to them in the next episode. Anytime that we're on the air, feel free to send us an email at thehelpdesk@privateofficer.com, and we will try to get to them, that day. You can also send us news tips 24/7 at thehelpdesk@privateofficer.com. It would be greatly appreciated. Or you can go to our website, and you can put a news tip in through our website or our social media page on Facebook, Twitter, or one of those. All right, we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for being with us today. And until the next time that we're on the radio, God bless, be safe out there, and we'll see you next time right here on the radio.